I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind. Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life?
Welcome to GCSE History Revision, episode 1. You can listen to this if you're revising history GCSEs, or I guess if you just like the sound of my voice, you can listen to this too. As I said, this is episode 1, where we'll be looking at the Anglo-Saxon social system. Okay, so we start around 1016. King Canute has just successfully conquered England. He's Danish. The Danish conquest isn't important right now, but it will be when we look at earldoms and danelaw. So just keep that in the back of your mind whilst we skip to 1042. So 1042 is important because it's the year of the coronation of King Edward the Confessor, who retakes the throne from the Danish rule. So this leads us to the first thing we have to look at, which is the Anglo-Saxon social system, which is basically just in Anglo-Saxon times there was a system, a hierarchy, where everyone knew their place, they knew who was above them socially and who was below them. So of course the first the best place to start is right at the bottom. So we have slaves, who were just 10% of the nation. They pretty much did whatever their lord told them to do. That was the only really reason of their existence. They would do and go whatever the lord told them to do. And that would be them for life. They wouldn't do... you wouldn't really get promoted unless in rare cases. If you're a slave, that's what you'll do for the rest of your life. One up from that is the peasants, and they were the majority of the population, over 70%. We don't know exactly because it was hundreds of years ago, but they were the large majority. They would work for the lord for 3 days a week in return for just a plot of land. And then on the other days of the week, they would have that land to work for themselves, for their food, for their living. They weren't completely free. They had to do whatever job the lord requested, and they would have to go to war if they were called up by the lord at any time. So if the king asked the lord for some men to go to war, then, and he asked you, you would have to go to war. You can't say no to the lord. After them we have the churls, which were roughly 10% of the population. These could also be called freemen because they were relatively free men. They owned some land and didn't have to work for the lord, but they could still be called up to work to war at any time. If they work hard, they could possibly become a thane, which is the next rank up. So the thanes, also called nobles, were warriors for the king, They were very free. They had their own land, but they still had to work hard. So these were often specialist warriors. They were often young, and they would sort of be the king's military. And then he'd obviously have the peasants and the churls as well. But they were the more professional warriors. They would also have local duties, such as local repairs, and they'd also act as the sheriff, sort of law enforcement within their areas. So they were quite useful for the king. And then lastly, we have the earls, or the lords. They were very few, and they were appointed from the king. They owned huge areas of land and were very rich. They worked for the king, but were still very, very free. These are the people that we talk about with the peasants and the slaves. Primarily the peasants. They're the ones that owned the land, which would then give out to peasants who would work for them. So you can imagine how rich they are with all these peasants giving them money. And, of course, right at the top, we have the king, who isn't really on the social system because he's the king and there's only one of him, but he was above all people. He had a say in all laws that he wanted to have a say in. And yeah, no one's above the king in Anglo-Saxon England. And yeah, that's about it for episode 1.